Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
So happy to be here today. As Miss Kelly just said, my name is Courtney Vince and used to be formerly known as Franklin. And I'm so excited to be here. I know some of you probably don't know who I am. I work in our media production side of things, and so I'm usually way back there behind all the scenes. But I was a senior in high school when God kind of handed this church to my parents, and I'll never forget my dad sitting all five of us down and saying, "We're only going to commit to doing this if we all agree to do it as a family." And so that meant my senior year of high school, I gave up half of my week at school, and we all came out here. I've been on staff. My parents came to the church in September, and I was born in February. So child labor-wise, I've been on staff for a really long time. And I've done any and everything along with all of my siblings in almost every campus that we have. But this one in particular, we decided that we were gonna come out. I was one of the children's pastors. My sister Carissa would help lead worship. Caroline would run the parking lot crew. I'm just kidding, she didn't do that, but she should have. And we all had different places. We were janitors at different times. And each Sunday, we would have our services 9 and 11 o'clock in Georgia as a family and with our executive pastor, Pastor Tracy Page, and our worship director, because we did not have a team out here. We had very few people. We would all get on a plane fly from our services in Gainesville all the way to the Atlanta airport, get on a plane. It was absolute chaos mode. And we'd fly out here. We'd get here right in time to do two services in the evening on Sunday nights. And each of the five kids would be serving in a different area and scrubbing toilets. And I've grouted tile in the churches, and I've cleaned stages and vacuum packs on my back, getting ready for conferences, and I've set up. And I just wanna say thank you, because it truly has been the honor and privilege of my life getting to be a part of this incredible house that has many rooms, but this room has a special place in my heart, and I really, really love it. And I'm honored to be here today and really, really thankful that my parents, I like to say ask, but they really don't ask. They just tell me, "You're going to California, you're gonna go speak." I'm like, okay, so that's what we're gonna do. And I just wanna take a second, I know she just briefly did it, but my mother and my grandmother are both standing here. My other sister, Carissa's here. And I just wanna say happy Mother's Day to all of you. I love you so much. I'm so thankful for everything that you've invested into my life, the prayers that I'll never know about that you've prayed. I'm so thankful, and I love you. Happy Mother's Day to the best mama. Sean, I know you think you got the best, but I got a mic now, so I got the best. All right, guys. Well, we're gonna get started. I believe I have a word from the Lord for you today. And so, again, if you don't know who I am, my husband, I'm married to Tyler Bentz, Mr. Bentz. And we've been married for 13 years this year, been together for 14 years. And yes, and I told the first service, I still like him, which I think is a bigger feat sometimes than still loving him. But I do still like him, and I do still love him. And you know the little girl who did like this about the cooking in the video? She's my daughter. It's really hateful. It's the first time I've seen the video, and yeah, she can fix her own food from here on out. How about that? See, whatever. But I have two girls. I have Amelia Jude, and she's 8 with an attitude, as you can see. And I have Elliot Collette, and she is 4, and she's a situation. And my husband, Tyler, he is an incredible artist. He's got more talent in his pinky than I do in my whole body. It kind of makes me sick. And so he is an artist and a musician, but he literally earns a living off of what he's able to create. And a lot of what he's able to create, he works with several different companies that do comic books. And so in our home, comic heroes, superheroes are a pretty big deal. Do we have any superhero fans in the room? Okay, there's a few of you. You're a little timid about it. It's okay. All right, it's time to come out. you're safe here. So in our home though, with my husband not having any sons yet, we'll see, I'm claiming it, but he's not. He's like, we're done. We'll see. Okay, we won't air it out here. Don't worry about it. And so in our home, the reigning champ of all superheroes is Wonder Woman. Okay, do we have any Wonder Woman fans? Yeah, so me and my girls want to be Wonder Woman. We love Wonder Woman. My husband really loves Linda Carter. And he appreciates her. And I said, all the husbands say amen. Do not say amen. Today's not the day. Turn to your mother or your wife next to you and say, girl, you're the only Wonder Woman I'm interested in, okay? You are already Wonder Woman to me. Okay, so we watch the movies a lot in our home as much as we can. They're skipping through certain parts. But there's this one part in the movie Wonder Woman, and she's going into a battle, and she's going into an area called No Man's Land, which is an actual military term, and it's used in times of war, and its definition is this: the land that is unoccupied or is under dispute between two parties who leave it unoccupied due to fear of uncertainty. And so in this clip from the movie, Wonder Woman comes in with all the guys, and she comes into one of the tunnels for an ally group. And when she gets there, she sees the people suffering. She sees everyone hurting. And she says, why don't we go take that town back? And they say, well, this is no man's land. And we can't go into no man's land because it's certain death if you step into no man's land. This is an area that's undisputed and you can't go. And something ignites in Wonder Woman, and she gets really upset, and she pulls her cape off, and she steps out in this gorgeous costume, and she steps out into no man's land, and she starts taking this field where nobody is, where bombs and bullets have come, and she starts tink, tink, as the bullets start coming with her wristbands, and then she has to pull out her sword, and I mean her shield, and as she has her shield out, she's taken massive fire. And in the movie, all the men get really hype and they're like, we gotta go help her. And as soon as I saw that part in that movie, I could not help but think about a story in the Bible where we see basically who Wonder Woman was probably created after. And that is Deborah in the Bible. And in Judges chapter 5, the Bible says, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until Deborah arose, until I arose, a mother in Israel. And so today, I want to take a few minutes to speak to the women of the house. Are there any women here today on Mother's Day? Don't worry, guys. I won't leave you out, okay? And this is not a hate on guys message, I assure you, okay? We appreciate all the fathers and all the men as well. But I want us to get into Judges chapter 4. And the context here is in Judges chapter 4, we start again where the Israelites have gone into and they're in a season of captivity from King Jabin of the Canaanites. And so for 20 years, they've been enslaved by this cruel, gruesome ruler. And we find and we're introduced to, and Judges chapter 4 kind of tells the story. And then it's kind of, I think it's funny, I don't know why, but and then Judges chapter 5, you hear the story, the gruesome story we're about to go through, and then or four, and then five, they just kind of wrote like a song about it, about how cool Deborah is and JL and the different women that we're going to talk about. And so we're going to start reading in Judges chapter 4, verses 7, but we're introduced to Deborah, and the Bible says that Deborah was the leader over Israel. She was the judge of the land. So women and men both came to her. She was the head of all of Israel. She was a mother in Israel. She was a prophet, really the only female prophet that we see named in the Bible. Someone who God could trust to do hard things. And God gave her a word of deliverance for Barak. Barak was the military leader of the tribe of Judah. Tribe of Israel. And she says, go get 10,000 sons and I want you to go into army, go into this battle and you're gonna win. God's gonna deliver it into your hands. And so I want us to pick up reading in verse 7. And it says, I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. But Barak said to her, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Deborah's response, and I love it, says, certainly I will go with you, said Deborah. But because of the course that you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman. And then we see where she doesn't rebuke him. She doesn't put him down. She goes with him into battle. And he actually asked her to make the battle cry for all of the troops. And she says, then Deborah said in verse 14, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? And what happens here is where Sisera was a mighty, mighty military general in Bible times. He would have not been somebody you wanted to mess with. They would have all known who he was. He had 900 chariots of iron. And so essentially what the Israelites looked, what God basically asked the Israelites to do is take some bow and arrows and go fight people with tanks. And he said, but I'm going with you, so you're going to win. And everybody was a little bit nervous about that, but not Deborah. Deborah was not nervous about that at all. And what happens is God does what he says he's going to do because he's faithful and he's good. And he uses what they thought was their advantage to be their disadvantage against them. He sends floods and he stops the chariots. And the Bible says that all of Sisera's troops fell by the sword. Not one single man was left. But Sisera fled by foot. He came upon the tent of a woman named Jael, who he thought was his ally. She let him in and she asked for some water. He didn't give her water. She didn't give him water. She gave him milk. And she said, lay down. And this is where Jael does something that's pretty gruesome, okay? And so we're going to pick up in verse 21. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he laid fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground and he died. Just then Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I will show you the man that you're looking for. So he went in with her and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued King Jabin of Canaan before the Israelites. And the hand of the Israelites pressed harder and harder against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they destroyed him. I believe that God is calling some of the women of this house, not some, all of the women of this house, to step into no man's land today. I believe that God is waiting for some women in this house to wake up to the call of certainly I will go. I don't know what your circumstance looks like. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. And I don't know what you walked in this room carrying. If you're anything like me, motherhood is a heavy, heavy burden. It's a great joy, but it's also a heavy weight that we carry. As women, we carry heavy weights, heavy things. And there might be an impossible situation in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, with that child, with a health diagnosis. Maybe it's with a doctor who's told you you will never be a mother, that your womb cannot conceive. I believe, though, that God sent me here today to tell you that he has set aside certain victories for the hands of a woman. And if you're in this room today, then you're already taking steps in the right direction, okay? And I believe that certain victories can only be delivered into the hands of a woman. God has predestined victories for your life, for your family, and for your children. And it's time, just like Deborah, for the mothers and for the women to arise. It's time for us to stop wallowing around in self-pity and stand up. Because when we stand up, when we arise, when we step into the victory that God has called us into, hell shudders. And I believe that for so long, we have lived in this depression and in this darkness and in circumstances that do not look like they make sense. But God needs you today to stand up, to arise, to get up and say, I'm going to go into no man's land and I am going to go with an attitude of certainly I will go because the Lord is with me and he has already predestined this victory for my hands. This is not an anti-men message, okay? I promise it's not. That's not what I'm trying to do. The original battle The original battle plan, God said it could be handed into the hands of Barak, but Barak was a wise enough man to say, I'm not going unless you're going with me, because I see the power and the authority that comes when we link hands and do this together. That wasn't weakness from him. That was wisdom. He recognized the powerful call and authority she had to win a battle. And he told her, I will not go unless you go with me. I'm not interested in fighting this alone. We are not going to be able to overcome the things that the enemy brings our way by ourselves. And the sooner that you realize that women, men, I'm talking to you for a second, men, you have a special woman who's in your life, or you want to have a special woman who's in your life. She has a divine calling from God that he put in her specifically. Encourage it. Don't put it down. Grow with her and invest in her. Let her know that you believe in her. And I promise you that things will come out of her that you're interested in seeing, okay? I believe that there's a demonic attack that we're seeing on femininity right now. I am a woman. I know my dad gets up here and says it a lot, but I am a woman, and I haven't heard many women get up and speak about this, but I want to say it's very insulting for me to think that my femininity is boiled down to and diminished down to the makeup that I wear on my face, or the heels that are on my feet, or the clothes and dress that I choose to wear. That is not what makes me a woman. I am not a birthing person. I sustain life in my body for two babies. I push them out of my body. I then sustain their life with what God gave me through my body to feed those children. I am a mother. I am a woman, and God made me and designed me specifically to be so. He did not make a mistake in that. He did not mess up. Genesis 3 tells us that we were not created as an afterthought. We were created as a solution to a problem. We were made in the image of God. And as women, we need to embrace the immense impact that we have on our homes and in our worlds. Some of us as wives, you use your tongue to cut your husband down every chance you get. I know, I thought y'all just thought I was gonna lift you up. Whole time, right? I know. I don't like it either, okay? We have so much authority and power in our home to build that man up to be exactly what God has called him to be. I told my husband the other day, he almost sometimes thinks I'm mad at him. He called me about a project and said, well, babe, they want me to do it for this. I said, you're not doing it for that. You're not giving away your work. You're not going to give away who you are. You work too hard. He said, you need to calm down. You sound like you're mad at me. I said, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad that you think you're worth just so little. I believe in you. I know what you're worth. I know your value. I believe in you. You can do this. Don't take less than what you deserve. And he didn't. Because he listened to me. So also, listen to us, okay? Anyways, that was not in the notes. That was not the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was, we don't know. And the same thing, mamas. I remember, growing up and my mother, I'm a huge soccer player. I still coach my daughters in soccer. Yeah, there we go. And I remember nobody could rile me up quite like my mama, because she knew nothing about soccer, but she would stand there on the sidelines and flip out over me and build me up. And it made me think, I can do anything. You have that authority and that power in your children. If you ever noticed, you don't hear about a daddy bear. I know. My husband and I, Tyler and the girls, we love to hike. And my mother hates that we love to hike because she knows the animals that are outside when we do go hike. And so we hike a lot in Georgia, but we also go to Montana and Wyoming and Idaho. And when we're there, we go on hikes. And I'm not really scared of a lot of things when we're out there. It's my happy place. It's where I find the most joy, is being out in the woods. And no cell phone service is wonderful. And so the only thing, my greatest fear, it's not the mountain lions, it's not the weather, it's not the water. The greatest fear that I have when I'm hiking with my girls is if I see two bear cubs go running across the trail. because I know that I likely won't see what's coming next, but a mother bear is gonna come out of somewhere and she's probably gonna rip me and my family to shreds. Stay calm, okay? We have bear spray, we're prepared. I know, I'm acknowledging it though. She hates it. And I think that sometimes we need to recognize the ferociousness that God has naturally put in us as mothers. We had my daughter Amelia, and I'm in no way advocating for violence. Maybe. See, she gets it from me, the hand thing. So my daughter Amelia, about a year ago, she came home off the bus and she said, "Mama, this boy, he's bullying me." I said, "Okay." She said, "He told me I was stupid and I was dumb and I was ugly." And I said, "Okay, well, Amelia, are you stupid? Are you dumb? And are you ugly?" She said, "No, I'm not." I said, "All right, well, the next time he says it, say, okay." And she said, "What?" I said, "Baby, people are gonna be mean to you. People are gonna be bullying you, unfortunately, for the rest of their lives out of their own insecurity, okay? I've got to teach you, it's my job to teach you to stand up for yourself, know who you are, and not respond to words because sometimes they're silly and it's just not worth it." And that was a great little lesson, right, that I taught my daughter. And then a couple weeks later, she got off the bus on a Friday and she said, "Mama, today he hit me." I said, "I'm sorry." And she said, "He took me by the back of my book bag and he slammed me against a wall and he was jerking me against the wall and he threw me on the ground." And I caught charges. I didn't, but almost. And I said, "Get in the car, Amelia Jew." I didn't call, her dad had a major issue with this after the fact because we discussed it and he was like, "Courtney, you cannot be a psycho like this." I said, "It would have been different if you had come." And I said, "Get in the car." And she said, "Where are we going?" I said, "We're going to his house." And she said, "Mama, what?" I said, "Yeah, we're gonna go to his house real quick. He's on your bus, right? Show me which house is his." So like the psycho that I am, I take my 7-year-old daughter. I go to her bully's house, banging on the door. The grandmother for sure recognized who I was. Gainesville's a lot smaller of a community than out here. I didn't think about that. And I said, "Hi, I'm here because your son is bullying my daughter. And it's one thing for me to equip her to deal with words. I will deal with that all day long. She can deal with a bully. What I will never equip her for or make her think is okay is a man putting his hands on her. Therefore, I'm here to let your son know." And they pulled this little buck tooth boy out. This tall, and I bowed up, Mama Bear, and I said, "I'm not a note home in your agenda. I'm not a write-up slip. I am the real life consequences of your actions. And if you ever touch my baby again," I said, "you see this right here?" Amelia's standing there looking at me. I said, this is mine. And you need to understand that there is nothing on this earth that I will not do to protect and defend her, including going to jail for harming a 7-year-old. So if you wanted to look at her, I don't think you should walk down the same aisle as her at school. I don't think you should look in her direction because not just me, but a whole lot of people come with her. Apparently now when he gets on the bus, she said when he walks past her, he does like this. A year later, and I scared the living daylights out of him. But some of you need to, on a spiritual level, let the enemy know, this is mine. This is mine. And you're not allowed to come in here and do any and everything you want because I have full authority over you through Jesus and what he bought for me on the cross. And I'm gonna stand up and I'm gonna have a battleground for my family and for my marriage and for my children. And I'm gonna say, certainly I will go. Some of you need to say to the enemy, this is mine. And you cannot have it anymore. Hell cannot have our children. Hell cannot have our marriages. Hell cannot have this church. Hell cannot have this nation. And it's time for some mothers to arise, to stand up and say, I will go into no man's land and I will fight this enemy all by myself if I have to. Amen. And I'm gonna fight on my knees. I'm gonna fight in the secret place. I'm gonna fight with the sword of truth, which is the word of God. The problem is you can't use a sword of truth if you don't know the truth that's in it. And some of you need to learn to be more like Jesus was in the wilderness when the enemy attacked him. Did he fight back? Nope, he just kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. His word does not return void, it is written. His promises are yes and amen, it is written. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, it is written. I am above and not beneath, it is written. It doesn't look like it makes sense. It does not look like there's any kind of outcome that can go in your favor. But he is a God who only works in the impossible. If it's possible, then it's not God territory. If you're in an impossible situation, then you need to look up because your help is drawing near. I can assure you of that. We open up our mouths sometimes and we give the devil a pep talk. And I think it's time that we begin to tell him, your fate is sealed. It is written in this book. And I'm going to fight my battles through prayer, through the word of God, through worship. Somebody say, I'm ready for no man's land. Somebody say, mothers, and say it like you actually mean it. That was pitiful. Say, certainly I will go. I love JL. The Bible says that essentially JL was a housewife. It says in Judges chapter 5, she was a tent-dwelling woman. She was a homemaker. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she was a woman of her home. And when the enemy showed up at her doorstep, she did not fall to pieces. She would have known exactly who he was. And he didn't show up. Notice he didn't go to her husband's tent. Back then, the men and the women were kept in different tents. They set up these different areas. He went to her tent. And he said, give me some water. Give me something to refresh me and energize me back up. Because I've just ran for my life after every single one of my people have been slaughtered and killed. And she said, I think I got a plan here. I'm not unprepared for the attack of the enemy that's come into my home. I'm not gonna nourish and flourish and grow and give back and feed into the enemy that just showed up at my doorstep. Instead, I'm gonna tire him out. I'm gonna give him some milk. And the Bible says that when she gave him milk, he laid down and he fell asleep. She didn't ask God. She didn't waste time saying, God, why? Why? Why am I here? Why are we here? Why does my marriage look the way that it looks? Why are all of my children going crazy? She didn't take that time when the enemy showed up at her door. She had a plan. She was prepared. She was battle ready. And she said, I'm not gonna go get a spear or a sword or anything that a man has to fight his battles. I'm gonna use what's in my tent. I'm gonna use what's in my home. And she said, I'm going to drive this stake through his head after I lull him to sleep, cover him up with a blanket, and tell him good night. She literally said, night, night, forever. But I think sometimes as women, and I've so been at fault for doing this, when the enemy shows up at my door, the first person I call is a friend. The first person I call is my mama. The first person I call is anyone who's going to fester and help prove my point and help me wallow in my self-pity. Usually the last person I call is God. But I think I'm learning a little bit now because now I really don't discuss many of my problems with anybody. What I do is I hit my knees and I say, God, this is upsetting me. Tyler's getting on my nerves today. I need you to deal with him because if I deal with him, I might have a stake and a peg and we don't know. You deal with him. He's yours. You handle it. When my kids are driving me crazy, when I feel like I'm failing in every single area of my life, I don't talk my problem up. I start talking to my problems. Solver. You speak more about the problem than you do your God. Do you know who your God is? Satan is already defeated, but he goes widely uncontested. But JL knew what to do when the enemy came. I love that she wouldn't have known that his entire army was already defeated. When she stepped out there, when she came up and formulated a plan to put a stake through his temple, that's a violent victory. She had no clue that his 900 chariots, every man in his army was dead. As far as she knew, they were on their way. But she still chose to defeat the enemy that was at her doorstep. She became a one-woman army for her family in that moment and said, I'm gonna kill you, enemy, and devil, I'm gonna kill you. And if 900 more come, let them come, because I'm ready and I'm armed with what I need. And I know where the enemy is a defeated, and God is going to hand this victory into my hands, in my family, with my children, and in my home. I know today is a bit of a mixed day for people. It's really nice when we hear songs like we just heard, and the kids are super cute, but this day can unearth a lot of different things inside of us, yeah? Because some of you had a mother like that was described in that song, and you have a wonderful mother who loved you and who took care of you, but some of you, she was the source of your greatest pain and heartache and hurt here on this earth. She didn't love you the way that she should have. But the good news is this: you don't have to have had a great mother to be a great mother. You don't have to have had an example of a wonderful woman to be a great woman. The Bible says that he sets the solitary in families. Maybe your entire family is lost. He can set you in the solitary position, and you can create a ripple effect for generations to come. The only way to fail your children, fully fail them, is to not give them God. It's the only way for you to fail them. If you just keep dragging them to church, if you just keep bringing them, even when all hell's breaking loose in the car. I know my mama did. I know that we gave her a whole lot of issues on the way to church. And a lot of the times she would show up at the back door and usher would come and get us, and she'd say, take them to their father. I'm leaving. I'm done. I don't like any of them. And I used to think she was a little crazy. Now I get it fully. I fully understand. We broke her. Like, we made her, we did this. It was our fault, and I'm sorry, but we love you. Have your mother say. You need to make up your mind today that if you're going to fail at anything, it is not going to be pointing your children to Jesus every single day. In this house, in this family, in this church, this is how we fight our battles. Several years ago, Amelia was having issues with nightmares at night. And so we started doing these scriptures at night where we were telling her, you know, God has not given you a spirit of fear, baby, and you don't have to be scared, and you have to. And one night I was being super carnal and she would not go to sleep. And I said, you just gotta go in there and go to sleep. She's like, well, mama, no, I can't get my noise with it. And I was done. I said, no, just, you've gotta go to sleep. What, are you afraid of the dark? And she turned with such an attitude and she said, I am not afraid of the dark, mama. The dark is afraid of me. I think some of us need to, I was taken aback a little bit, but some of us need to recognize you don't have to be afraid of the darkness that you're facing. The darkness is afraid of you. The darkness is afraid of you stepping into no man's land. The darkness is afraid of you waking up to the woman God has called you to be. It's time to step into no man's land. It's time to take on a spirit of certainly I will go. We need women who understand their weapons. It's time for us to get battle ready. She had some weapons ready when the enemy came to her tent. Have you prepared your home for the enemy's attack? The enemy is coming. If he's not there right now, if you're in the fun little phase where our kids are little, and we're not, I already know, I've got two daughters. I'm not looking forward to teenage years at all. I know that's when the real battles are gonna come. And I'm probably gonna let their dad fight some of those, because again, I'll catch charges. This is the issue. But we need to know that we have some weapons in our arsenal. And it's not a sword. It's not a shield. It's not these little cool wristbands. And it's not a gun. It's not these things. No, it's the weapon of prayer. The weapon of praise. The weapon of worship. The weapon of fasting. The weapon of peace. The weapon of the anointing. The weapon of taking a stand. Ephesians 6 says, and when you've done all else to stand, stand. Would you stand to your feet all in this room today? You can use a weapon of trusting and knowing that God will deliver you. He has ordained certain victories to be delivered into your hands. I have no doubt in my mind that I am here. I'm standing on this stage today because of the seeds that were sown into my life, a lot of which by two of those women who are standing on the front row right now. Prayers that I will never know were prayed over me. Moans that were taken out of their stomachs and their spirits because of me. The intercession that took place over me. My mother taught me a long time ago, this is how I fight my battles. She's not interested in getting up on the stage and talking to all of you, but she is very much interested in talking to God about me. And it kept me and it held me in moments where I wanted nothing to do with this place, where I wanted nothing to do with God. You don't know the impact of the battle you win today and how it will impact your harvest for tomorrow. 2 Timothy 1 says this, and this is Paul speaking to Timothy. He said, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you, Timothy. Are there any single moms in the room? They didn't mention the daddy. The faith was put in their son from them. They set up generational blessings for their children because of not anything special that they did, just their faith, just their belief that God was gonna show up and do what only he could do. And so if you're a mother, if you're a woman in this room, I want you to come down to the altar today. I want all the women of this house, you can go ahead and make your way down to the altar now. I want us to declare and see a few things. I want some of you, you've been living for a promise for a really long time, but I believe today that God wants to give you a picture. We see this in scripture that Abraham, he was barren, him and his wife Sarah. They could not have children. And God said, I promise you, your descendants will be that as the sands on the seashore. And you're gonna have children. They were 90 years old. And then he says this, he said, I'm giving you a promise. Now step out of your tent, go look at the stars in the sky, get a picture. See it in your eyes and see it with your eyes and see it in your mind what I'm gonna do for you. I want you all, the women of this house, to close your eyes, lift up your hands right now. I want you to picture it. The impossible situation that you don't know what to do in. The victory that you need. Picture that child's name showing up on your phone with a phone call that you have begged God for. Picture a healed marriage that you could only dream of. Picture a whole heart. Picture yourself free of anxiety and depression. Picture yourself set free from the bondage of addiction. Get a picture. Ask God to give you a picture in your mind of a victory that you can't see right now, that doesn't look like it's anywhere close to coming, that it does not make sense, that every single advantage is against you. Get a picture in your mind right now. And it doesn't mean that it's gonna be immediate. It doesn't mean that the circumstances are magically going to change. But what is going to change today, what I'm declaring is going to change today, is your mentality, is your heart, is your countenance, is your ability to see that God has set aside a specific victory for you. It can only be delivered to you. your hand.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Free Chapel OC.